Standing in the stark outline against the Judean sky, the cross of Jesus Christ marked a decisive turning point in God's dealings with the sinful race. Prior to the cross, mankind could approach God and obtain forgiveness for sin only by offering a sacrifice in strict compliance with the Mosaic Code. But the sacrificial system was strictly temporary. Every drop of animal's blood that fell on Israel's altars pointed forward to the time when Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, would make the final sacrifice for sin. Just a few short days before Jesus endured the agonies of a cruel Roman cross, he rode into Jerusalem to the welcoming shouts of the people. It was a joyous occasion as many placed their cloaks before him, and little children spread palm branches in the way, crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David." Following his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, Jesus desired to eat the traditional Passover meal with his disciples. He sent Peter and John ahead of the others in order to prepare this memorial feast. When the disciples opened the door to the room where they would be meeting, they were greeted by the aroma of freshly baked bread and roasted lamb. Normally, a servant would wash their feet before they ate. The water and towel were there, but no servant. The task was too menial for the disciples, but not for Jesus. He wrapped a towel around his waist and washed their dirty feet. Customarily, bread was broken and shared at a Passover meal, but the Lord added new meaning to the ceremony when he broke the bread and handed it to his disciples with this reminder: "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Later, he handed them a cup which stood for the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. With each covenant God made with individuals or with Israel, he gave a visible sign. So the bread and cup remind us of God's promise of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. His death established a new way of approaching God. No longer would his people have to sacrifice animals to draw near to him. His death was the final sacrifice.
A fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners.
Flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. Jesus paid it all, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain,
from the cross of Calvary, the King of Grief cried out to a world of unbelief, "It is finished." No more would he suffer the pain of the nails driven through his hands or the agony of the spear thrust into his side. At last, his body would rest in a borrowed tomb. Early on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb to find the stone had been rolled away. Jesus Christ had risen from the grave. Comforted with the good news that Jesus had risen, Mary saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she did not recognize him, that is, until he called her name. Oh, how she rejoiced as she suddenly discovered her master was alive.
Thank you.
Following the resurrection, Jesus revealed himself to his disciples. There were some things he must tell them before he departed this earth to be with the Father in heaven. On one occasion, he gave this instruction, "Feed my sheep." His final command was simply, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," as they have through the ages. These words still ring in our hearts today. Go into all the world.
Jesus called together his disciples, and he called them all by name. One by one they left what they were doing, and his followers they became. Follow me, follow me, hear the voice of the Savior as he calls midlife's trouble and care. I will comfort and guide you. I will stay close beside you. I will be with you everywhere. Through the dark, lonely night, I will lead you aright. Don't lose hope and never despair. Follow me, follow me. Hear the voice of the Savior as he calls. Follow me, follow me. Have you ever heard the voice of Jesus? Have you heard him speak your name? He invites all those who will to follow. Yes, today the message is the same. Follow me, follow me. Of the Savior as he calls midlife's trouble and care. I will comfort and guide you. I will stay close beside you. I will be with you everywhere. Through the dark, lonely night, I will lead you. Don't lose hope and never despair. Follow me, follow me. Hear the voice of the Savior as he calls. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me.
The heart of the gospel message is this: Jesus Christ became the sacrifice for our sins. Unlike other high priests, he did not need to offer sacrifices from day to day, first for his own sin and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed his life for our sins once for all. A man named Joseph took his body, wrapped it in clean linen cloths, and placed it in his own new tomb. On the third day, God raised him, freeing him from the agony of death. Today, I can confidently say to you, Jesus Christ, our hope, is still alive. And one day, at the name of Jesus, all shall bow. Amen.
What a blessing, amen. Did a wonderful job. Appreciate all the hard work of Brother Cruz and the choir and the pianist and all the special music, and just a tremendous blessing to be able to put on a program like that. And so much gospel truth there, and so many wonderful songs, so wonderfully done. I want to read you a couple verses in conclusion tonight. We will have an invitation, and we will not keep you very long. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the resurrection chapter. I want to talk to you about something there. I want to read you a few verses, starting in verse number 13. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, find the resurrection chapter. There's 58 verses. We'll just read a few of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 13. And we'll go down through verse number 22. The Bible says, and I can start reading as soon as you get there. That's the way it works. 1 Corinthians 15, 13, the Bible says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God," which is, by the way, that's breaking the Old Testament law, being a false witness, "because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." I'm glad for that if right there. Verse 16, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." You see the two things right there that are so important, the absolute pinnacle that the resurrection of the dead is, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If he didn't rise, then you're still yet in your sins. And number two, that's for you that are alive, that's for us that are alive, and everybody here tonight is alive. But number two, for those that are not alive anymore, it means a whole lot for them too, because they'll never know anything else. It's like some of the so-called intellectuals and uppity-ups think that when you die, there's nothing after that. Well, they'd be right, unless Jesus Christ rose from the dead and conquered death. I'm glad that God's right and they're wrong. Amen. So verse 18 says, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." That messes up a few gospel songs we like to play on the radio. Verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." I'm so thankful for the "but nows" in Scripture. I'm so glad that Christ rose from the dead. Now look at this. I want to show you a couple other things. This is part of my message I didn't get to preach this morning, and then we'll conclude with the early service tonight. Verse 21, "For since by man came death." That's how it happened, right? Romans chapter 5 talks about that, I believe, also. Adam, his disobedience in the Garden of Eden, taking of what God told him not to take, the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Verse 21 says, "For since by man came death," look at this, "by man," a different man, "came also the resurrection of the dead." Not by Adam, but by the second Adam. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Do you understand? By the way, let me just say it this way. Like the choir was singing a moment ago, if all you ever understood, and this is more than plenty, if all you ever understood was because Jesus Christ is alive, he lives and so shall I, like it said in one of the songs just a moment ago, if that's all you ever stood, that's plenty. But there's even more to it. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ pronounces death and Satan a defeated foe. Amen. Do you understand what God did? God took one below Satan, and he exalted him above Satan. Officially, judicially. There's probably going to be a big court in heaven one day, and all will be said that needs to be said. And the conclusion, according to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, is that Satan will be cast out, and Jesus Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords for all eternity. God took one. Here, think about it. Who did Satan deceive in the garden? People say he deceived Adam, but that's not correct according to the Scripture. According to the Scripture, Eve was deceived, not Adam. Adam knowingly, willingly committed the sin he committed. He even knew the ramifications of what was going to happen. He did. You might not think he did, but he did. Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. Adam was growing intellectually. He was going to surpass Satan as the top of God's created beings in the created order. Satan didn't like that. Satan, as a serpent, he intervened, or he came and he deceived Eve. And because of Adam's love for Eve, he willingly sinned against the holy God. It was a wrong decision, by the way. We can admire his love for Eve. It was the wrong decision. So what God did was he took the seed of the woman, the one that the serpent had deceived in the Garden of Eden. He took the seed of her and conquered Satan forevermore.
Amen.
In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ, made of a woman, he came forth, not the seed of Adam, not the seed of man, but the seed of a woman. And God took the weaker vessel's seed, according to 1 Peter chapter 3. He took that, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we know he was the divine. He was the God-man. But yet, the vessel was the woman. The same way that Satan interjected sin into human race and death by sin, and all those things that we understand the Scripture teaches, he took that and he defeated Satan. He defeated him forevermore. And that's why we can sing, alive, alive, he lives, and so shall I. And there's so much the resurrection of the dead means. I tell you what, the future is bright because Jesus Christ is Lord and Jesus Christ is King of Kings. And in the ages to come, there will be no devil. There will be no sin and there will be no death, but we'll have the fruits of the resurrection of the dead for all existence, for all eternity. And I say it often, you're going to live as long as God lives. And that looks like a good forecast for the future, doesn't it? That's what God did. I'm going to give you just a couple more verses, and I'm going to conclude and give an invitation tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 9. The Scripture says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended, talking about Jesus Christ, doing his work that he did, the 3 days and three nights, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Ephesians 1 says it this way, verse number 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, comma, which he, the Father, wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, where is this at? Far above all principality, any realm of any archangel that you might know or not know, far above any prince, any throne, any dominion, far above all, let me just read the verse, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ is all in all. He is exalted. He is exalted. The resurrection, oh, there's so much implication when it comes to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't get any of it unless you're in Christ. Unless you have faith in what God provided for you, which includes, by the way, you can't have the gospel without the resurrection from the dead on the third day, according to the Scriptures. In the declaration of the gospel, Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God. And Romans chapter 1 that we looked at this morning says, by the resurrection. With power, by the resurrection from the dead. I hope that means something to you personally. I hope he lives not only where he's seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and any created being or any of God's creation, where he's all things are under his feet, that exalted position that he earned. I hope he's in your heart also. I hope he's on the throne of your heart and your soul, that you've turned to him in faith, believing, knowing who he is, knowing who you are, and knowing that your only way of forgiveness and salvation, your only way back to God the Father in heaven, to be reconciled to him, is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The way of salvation that he freely provided for each and every one of us, not one person in this auditorium tonight that he left out. No one's excluded, but everybody's included. I hope that's the saving faith that you have tonight also. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you would, we will have a time of invitation here.